Ski conditions are not so great in the mountains nearby at the moment, but Mount Ashland Ski Area actually opened on Friday, something it was unable to do all of last winter when there was never enough snow to provide skiing and snowboarding. New bosses are in charge at Mount Ashland, trying a bunch of things, new things, to attract people to the resort when conditions allow skiing and boarding, which they don't today anyway. Hiram Toll is the Mount Ashland Ski Area General Manager and our guest once again on the Jefferson Exchange. Hiram, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me, Jeff.
So tell us about this. This is exciting because it's something that really didn't happen all last season.
Yeah, the team's very proud to have been able to bring skiing and riding back to the Rogue Valley. Friday, we were able to open on Sonnet, and we're able to move even over to Comer and get people some great skiing off of two different lifts.
It's not like you've had a real wealth of snow thus far. It was, what, not even quite 2 feet at places?
Yeah, we ended up with 22 inches on the lower snow stake, and 18 inches is good enough to open. So, you know, we had enough to have some pretty good conditions.
Now, there for folks who might not be aware, there is no capacity to actually make artificial snow at Mount Ashland.
Yeah, that's correct. Without a water supply, we wouldn't consider even trying to put in a system to make snow, and that's just the case. We don't have any water up there on the mountain.
Give us some impressions, then, about that first day, because this had been the first day that Mount Ashland was able to open since, late winter of 2013, right?
It had been 20 months since we had spun the lifts, and I will say that there was a lot of high-fiving, hooting, hollering. You know, the sounds coming from underneath the Comer lift when we opened up that lift are like none I have ever heard. It was like you were at a football game. It was really great.
And how many people showed up for that first day?
First day was about 200. The overall count for the weekend was 594 skiers. Now, that's not a big weekend in terms of what we would normally expect, but we felt really good about that considering we had two lifts and four slopes open. So that was pretty good numbers.
So this was a limited opening, kind of a soft rollout in a sense.
Yes, it was. We promised long ago when I first got here that we would open the lifts for skiing when we could. And the reason that we opened is because we could, and we didn't want to hold back the skiing from the Rogue Valley any longer. So we opened up with what we had, and it ended up that Mother Nature provided a little bit more than we had expected. So the skiing was really actually quite good.
When you say snow stakes, is it that rudimentary? I mean, it doesn't have to be, you know, telecommunications information. You just look at where the snow is on the stick.
It is not high tech. A ski patroller generally goes down and checks it, or one of our mountain ops crew goes down and checks it. So, yeah, it's a stake in the snow that in an area where we know that it's not affected as much by the wind. You don't want a place where it drifts in and gives you inaccurate readings. So it's in a good spot, and we check it as frequently as we can. And we'll be out there checking it this morning to see how we made out overnight.
So you were able to open again Friday and Saturday, and did the rains not start until Saturday night sometime or Sunday?
Yeah, it started. We knew that we weren't going to open on Sunday, just looking at the forecast and seeing how much moisture was coming. You know, the thing is, we have a really good snowpack. It came in heavy and wet. It's very dense, so it packed in nicely. But the reality is, in order for us to give a really good product, you know, we have to get the machines out on it. We have to get the groomers out on it to prepare it. And you really don't want to do that with the amount of snow that we have. We really thought it was better to be in preservation mode and keep it so that when it gets a little bit colder, we can get the machines out there and prep the surface for people to ski and ride on it.
So keep the base there in a sense and not disturb it.
That's right. And even skiers skiing on it can tear it up. Once you start to get some brown, it really goes quickly. So our thoughts were, you know, we'd rather provide a really good product for the upcoming Christmas season and holiday season. So we made the tough decision to not open on Sunday. And we'll continue to look at it, you know, midweek to see if there's any opportunities. But it looks like the next good cold weather coming is Wednesday night, even with a chance of snow.
Really?
Yeah.
On Christmas Eve night. Okay.
Yeah.
So you're not normally closed on Monday and Tuesday, aren't you?
We would normally be, but because this is the holiday, the winter break, we would have normally been open. So this is, it's unfortunate that we can't open and get the people who are now off and probably itching to get out there and ski and ride back out. But, you know, it's generally the days after Christmas that we really see the good crowd. So we're hopeful that, Mother Nature will provide with the cold temps and maybe a little bit more snow, and we'll continue to look at that.
If the conditions work out right for you to be able to open Christmas Day, is that an option, or is that even considered?
Oh, we'll consider opening any day. It's just looking at the forecast, it looks like the next window is probably Wednesday. But, you know, if the weather turns, I know it's going to be sunny on Tuesday, so we'll assess and we'll keep people updated. People should keep an eye out on our website and on our Facebook page. We'll keep the communications coming on how we're sitting.
One of the mechanics of the snow grooming thing, I understand from talking to the folks years ago when the first Bombardieri machine came in there, that this was a whole world different from what had been at Mount Ashland before, that the ability to take the snow you had and push it in the places you needed it were far greater than they'd been previously.
Yeah, and that came in really handy. We've got a great groomer, TJ, who gets up on the hill and spends a lot of time doing what I can only call snow farming. I mean, he's really good at finding pockets of snow, moving them around. And, you know, we even did a lot of hand work on the ramps at the terminals to get people on and off of the lift safely. You know, he can push up some snow, but, you know, to actually people in there with shovels and rakes getting the surface prepped. So we're literally snow farmers. When we get to this time of the year and, you know, every little bit counts, we get creative, and those machines are the tool to do the job. And then once the snow's in place, the tiller on the back just puts down a great groomed surface for people, and people were able to experience that on Sonnet for the first time in 20 months. In fact, it was the first time people had been able to appreciate the newly regraded and recontoured slope, and we had a lot of good feedback on that. People really liked the way that it skied.
So that is your bunny hill at Mount Ashland, the Sonnet chair?
Yeah, that's our beginner learning area and beginner area. And we actually had quite a number of people taking lessons that day, too. I really appreciated getting off of a lift and having a nice, continuous, gentle slope to be on. It used to pitch off pretty quickly at the top and then level out at the bottom. So it was really helpful for those who decided to take lessons. We had a lot of private lessons this weekend, which was great to see.
So I'm not grinning just at what you're saying. I'm having memories of the days when there was not even a chair there. It was just a rope toe.
That's right.
You had to get used to grabbing it.
Yeah, and it's funny because there is a rope toe back. We brought back the poet toe, you know, knowing that our mission is to help spread skiing, you know, to everybody. It made good sense to put in another beginner lift. It was in a laydown yard. It was still functional, and the team put it back together, and it's out there now, and it'll open as soon as we have the crowds to warrant it. But, you know, it's one more lift, one more asset, one more thing to help people to learn to ski in a comfortable way. You know, we're trying to convert skiers, you know, from never ever skiing to being lifelong skiers, and sometimes just that easier entry to the sport makes all the difference in the world. Not everybody wants to jump on a chairlift right off the bat.
Nope. Hiram Toll is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He is the general manager at the Mount Ashland Ski Area, which was able to open 2 days this past weekend, which is two more days than all of last year. Join us on the Jefferson Exchange. Questions, comments, information about skiing in general and boarding, and Mount Ashland in specific, 800-838-3760 around the region, 800-838-3760. Emails go to jx@jeffnet.org. So how was it you resculpted your bunny hill, the Sonnet run there?
Yeah, that was done before I got here. The team had also finished up our parking area. In fact, as I should mention, that we had people parking in our new parking area, which was great to see. So the new parking lot, when they carved out the edge of the hill to create those extra parking spaces, it created some additional material. So that was part of the plan with that team that was in place to get that out on Sonnet and get it regraded.
So is it just a sort of a uniform slope all the way down?
That's right. And it actually, as I understand now, I didn't get to ski on it until two Fridays ago when I went out to test it. But I'd never skied on it before, but I understand it also pitched a little bit to the right, so it would be called the double fall line. And when you have a double fall line, it's just not as easy for new skiers to take. And
often, afraid of crashing into the lodging.
It just kind of pulls you off your track, and you want to be heading straight down and not being pitched to the right. And so, I mean, what the team would do is they would put together, you know, as much snow as they could on that right hand side, you know, they would make it what it is today, but it required a lot of snow. So now it's a lot wider, and with that material that was placed on the hill, it just makes it made it so we needed less snow. I would probably venture to guess that before we wouldn't have been able to open on that small amount of snow were it not to have been worked on. So great moves taken to get that in place.
So are the new parking spaces nearer to the lodge?
They are on your right as you approach the lodge. So basically our overflow, we used to push people out into the back parking lots, which made for quite a long trek to the lodge. So in terms of, you know, reducing the difficulty for a family with a armload of skis and kids in tow, definitely going to be a better experience for everybody in terms of parking.
You mentioned actually getting to ski on some of those runs yourself a couple of weeks ago. I mean, it probably does help if the person who runs a ski area is a skier himself. Is that how you got into the business? Was you were doing it for fun and thought, you know, this would be a fun place to work?
Yeah, actually, one of my earliest jobs was working in a ski area in New Hampshire called Crotchet Mountain. I was worked in their food and beverage department. And, you know, from there worked with ski areas on ticketing systems. I was in the high tech business. So I've always been in touch in terms of my professional life with skiing, but more so in my personal life. Yeah, I grew up as a skier. 2 years old, cut my first turns at that little crotched mountain. My father was a ski patroller. So, you know, it's my passion for the ski industry, you know, in general, especially these smaller community ski areas that I grew up skiing on, you know, that drives me to do this. You know, it's a lot of hard work. And but yeah, I don't know of any person in a high level position in a ski area in this country who isn't as passionate about this sport as I am. Yeah, it really takes that to drive you to do this.
You mentioned some real pluses. There are obviously some minuses, too, with any ski area. Are they more, are they less with where you're working as a nonprofit, essentially, as opposed to a profit-making operation?
Well, the nonprofit piece is really what helps us to provide this to the Rogue Valley in the way that we do. You know, it's much like the Brit or the Shakespeare Festival. You know, it's something that does require... you know, our gracious donors to help out, and they've been absolutely wonderful. We couldn't do it without them. So I think that the nonprofit piece is really it's really the magic that makes it work in the way that it does. You know, we're able to keep our prices low barrier of entry to get those skiers and riders out there. And I think that's extremely important. I mean, it's a large economic driver. We have 160 people waiting in the wings to get started, you know, as staff, not to mention, you know, the Rogue Valley gets a little sleepy during the winter versus, you know, how exciting things are here in the summer, you know, with the fishing and Shakespeare Festival and all the things that are going on. So, you know, it's really important to have a vibrant, you know, winter business. You've got a lot of hotels and restaurants that really like to be full. And, you know, the more that we can do that with skiing, the better. So, you know, that overall health of the ski area really does depend on that nonprofit piece.
Hiram Toll is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the general manager at the Mount Ashland Ski Area, open for 2 days this past weekend and waiting on the weather for additional days. Join us on the Jefferson Exchange with questions or comments, 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area, 800-838-3760. Emails go to jx@jeffnet.org. You mentioned 160 people waiting in the wings. I mean, how much training do you do before the first time you're open? And then do they just spend a lot of time waiting for the phone to ring or their emails or texts or however it is you contact them?
Yeah, well, we had our first big training day was the beginning of December. But the good news is we have a lot of returning staff, you know, so we generally start the year with our seasoned staff. And, you know, we do some on-the-job training with those who come in to shadow them after. And, yes, they're waiting. We're going to be making phone calls as soon as we can. Over this weekend, we were able to bring in a small number of those returning staff. We're really trying to run lean. Obviously, we have to. In our financial position, we're running it as much with our existing staff as we can.
You mentioned the donors. Does Mount Ashland offer any sort of a membership or a subscription thing or just some way to belong to the organization as a regular contributor, even if you don't buy tickets, rent skis, et cetera?
Yeah, the help comes in a number of ways. We just have our traditional donors who you know, believe in what we're doing enough to give us gifts that help us to operate. We have business sponsorships, so there's the ability to tie your business to the mountain and get some perks in return for that. We do a program where you get gold passes and get to put up banners or advertising in the lodge. So those are two different ways. And then we also have our donor pass. You can upgrade your pass to a donor pass for $40 when you purchase it. And it gives you some perks like 15% off in the retail shop and some money off of food. And so there's some benefits there. But really, it's a lot of these larger partnerships. You know, Lithia Auto Stores has just been a great partner. They've helped us to rebrand this year. They're helping us work on a new logo. And they also sponsor, our kids program. So they're a great partner to work with. And that's just one of many. There's so many that have stepped up to help us out.
What ended up happening with people who bought season passes for last season, which didn't happen?
Well, a fair number of them took it as a donation. They received a letter that would allow them to to take the tax benefits for donating the value of their pass, and others have rolled them over. In fact, the vast majority of our early season's pass sales have been those who have rolled over from last year, so they got a 50% off of their pass for this year. So you're talking a $249 pass right now for those folks who are rolling it over.
And what's the season pass number for the beginning of last season, which didn't happen, and the beginning of this season?
In terms of comparison to the numbers, obviously the revenue is down clearly because we did the 50% off, mm-hmm, for those who were gracious enough to come back and support us. But in terms of the actual number of passes, we're still tracking pretty well. We will still continue to see more season's pass sales. In fact, we were taking lots of pictures and selling season's passes over this weekend. That was another benefit to being able to open. It got people up to the mountain to kind of get prepped for the season, get their lockers and get their gear in their lockers and get their season's pass pictures done.
It sounds like what you're saying then is that some people are waiting to see what happens.
Yes, that is. It's definitely the case. The numbers that are missing are clearly those who are waiting on the sidelines, and I guess I really can't blame them. You know, looking at the history, they're waiting for the snow, and you know this amount of snow that we got. You know, it got enough people up there and confident that we're feeling really good about it, but you know, hoping for that next blast of snow to bring the rest of them up.
We talked recently about the survey that you folks brought back in at Mount Ashland, indicating what some of the preferences were that people would have for their skiing or snowboarding experience. Anything you're really able to execute from the findings of that survey within this ski season without having to make major structural changes, you know, remodel a lodge, anything like that?
Oh, sure. I mean, people experienced that this weekend. Our cafe offered up their famous bento bowl, which was chicken with some vegetables and some rice, just as a lighter option for those who may not like the traditional. I mean, I'll tell you this, it's pretty traditional ski lodge fare to have hamburgers and French fries, and those aren't going away. We have a lot of people, including myself, who love the French fries there. But people did ask for healthier options, so we heard them, and we offered that up week one. And they'll also notice that we've done a few minor improvements to the lodge to make it more usable. Simple things like, you know, more hooks to hang up jackets, more places to put your boot bags, just to kind of free up and use up that amount of lodge that we have, just to make it a little bit more efficient and work better for people. And then, of course, we always try to provide the absolute best ski surface. So, you know, a lot of attention has always been paid to grooming. And that was no different this year. People will go out there and see as good a product as we can possibly put out there based on the snow that we have.
What's the mix of people at this point, Hiram Toll? Is it more skiers than boarders? I understood that things had sort of flopped back, that the ratio was changing again, that the number of skiers was increasing and the percentage of boarders dropping somewhat.
I'm an equal opportunity slider. I generally don't pay a whole lot of attention to that, but I saw a fair number of snowboards leaning up against the racks and a lot of them out on the hill. It's also fair to mention that our parks crew, park crew of one, Mr. Parker Gokey was out there. He built a park alongside Sonnet. So we even opened with a terrain park, and it was right full of snowboarders, I assure you.
Up and down the tube.
Yeah, and skiers for that matter.
I imagine when you're dealing with the regular ins and outs of trying to get a season underway, you're probably not thinking too much in the long term in terms of things like expansion, but that is still out there as a possibility for the Mount Ashland ski area. Is it something you're working on a regular basis, or is it stuff that just sort of sits on the shelf and gets cold for a while?
Well, we have a facilities, kind of a planning committee on the board of directors, and their focus right now is on the next 5 years of capital improvements. You know, we've got a lodge that's aging. We have aging infrastructure that needs not just regular maintenance, but maybe some capital upgrades to make it better experience for the guests. So really, in terms of the future, you know, that's where our focus is on making what we have as good as possible with the revenue that we bring in.
I must admit, you know, as somebody not in the ski business, I have no idea what it costs to, for example, install a whole new lift or change out an existing lift for a brand new one, but I'm thinking that probably, you know, six figures.
It's in the millions of dollars, and the reality is, you know, there's quite a bit of maintenance that goes into the ones that we have, so that's what we focus on first. And coming off of a season that wasn't, I think it'd be pretty lofty to be talking outside of our existing infrastructure that we have and trying to get that in check.
We have an email here from John and Eugene. He says, when does Mount A usually in quotes, open? When I lived in Humboldt, we often had to wait until after Christmas.
Oh, yeah. No, we for the last 5 years, with the exception of last year, if you throw out last year, we've been able to get open for Christmas. I think the latest date was the 20th. We average right around the 12th of December. So we were right on time in terms of our initial opening. So that's really exciting. It's just, getting through this weather blip for this week, and it'll be all full steam ahead.
What do you make of the long-term weather? I know that some of the reports I've heard indicate that for the Northwest in particular, it looks like it could be a warmer and wetter winter. The wetter is good, the warmer not so much, and you're seeing the effects of that right now.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking this particular stretch of weather was it was a very, very wet mass of air coming from just above Hawaii. So I think they refer to it as a Pineapple Express. So this is not a usual occurrence. But normally we're going to see the difference between snow and rain, somewhere in the, 3,000 to 4,000 foot level, where our lodge sits at about 6,000 feet of elevation. We should be in pretty good shape, but we will always keep our eyes on the weather, and we'll always communicate back to our guests as to what the hill's looking like. And we will open it again as soon as possible.
It takes a lot of patience to be in this business, doesn't it?
It does. It takes a lot of patience and, trying not to be too overly concerned with the things you can't control, like weather, but really being diligent and reacting to it as quickly as possible and doing making the right decisions.
Well, Hiram, appreciate the time you spent with us today. Hiram Toll is the general manager at the Mount Ashland Ski Area, planning to open once again after 2 days open thus far already this year. Thanks again for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Jeff.
You bet.